This morning, I want to talk to you about the title of my message is kind of controversial. And even, yeah, imagine that, right? But I want to give you an opportunity to be offended. I guarantee you one thing, that if you are looking to be offended, 100% of the time, you will find a reason. Amen. No, excuse me. It's not a reason. It's an excuse. Because there's a difference. But I want to talk to you about equality or unity. Because there is a difference. And I read a story this past week about two men that were riding a tandem bicycle. You know what that is. One guy's in the front, one guy's in the back. And they were going up a very steep hill. And after a lot of effort, they finally made it to the top. And the front guy said to the guy on the back, "Man, that was a tough ride." And the second rider said, "It sure was. And if I hadn't kept my foot on the brake all the way up, we might have slipped backwards." If you ever feel like, do you ever feel like somebody has their foot on the brake in your life? Like someone, you're just like going, walking through the mud. You're just trying to get through life, but with joy. And it's, if we're not careful, we will be caught up in the minutia of our world. And how many knows there's a lot of minutia out there? A lot of minutia. I love that word because it covers a lot of territory. So if you have your Bibles, in Psalm 133, verse 1, it gives this word. And this is a great word for us today. It says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." There's the church I want to go to. I want to be a member of the church that lives together in unity. I don't know if you've ever been a part of the church that hasn't lived together in unity. And maybe even around here, sometimes there's not, you might find that there's not unity, God forbid. But we're all under construction. None of us have arrived yet. So if you see somebody that isn't living in unity, then you can pray for them and love them anyway. Because they prayed for you and loved you when you wasn't doing it. Ephesians chapter 4. Be completely humble. And it doesn't say, be humble when you feel like it. Or be partially humble. Be completely humble and gentle. Do the dog run when you walk in the house? Do the kids run? Be gentle. I like a gentle horse. I'm a cowboy. I like a gentle horse. I like a horse that's not going to run off with me. Right, Keaton? We don't like that. Because those horses are dangerous and they'll hurt you. Yeah. So we like the gentle horses. We like a horse that you can trust, a horse that you can have confidence, that's not going to just spook at everything that he sees and not react to everything, but to be a gentle horse. God wants you to be humble and gentle. Do people love to be around you? If they do, it's because you're humble and gentle. And if the kids run when you come home, maybe not. Maybe not. They say equality comes from God and not man. One of the statements of the U.S. Declaration of Independence says this. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are liberty and the pursuit, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." All men are created equal. I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying what they're selling there. I'm a cowboy. And I can't rope as good as Trevor Brazil. I wasn't created equal when it comes to roping with Trevor Brazil. Now, equal in value from God's perspective? Yeah, I can buy that. I'm good with that. Because God sees everybody as equal. Red, yellow, black, and white. Equal value. But equal? Thinking about it. Just thinking about it. Thomas Jefferson. Here's your little opportunity to be offended. Thomas Jefferson wrote that all men are created equal. And even as he wrote that, he owned slaves. In fact, in his lifetime, he owned more than 600 people over the course of his life. Although he made some legislative attempts against slavery and at times bemoaned its existence, he also profited directly from the institution of slavery. And he wrote that he suspected the black people to be inferior to white people in his notes on the state of Virginia. I find that offensive. That offends me. However, listen to this. Throughout his entire life, Thomas Jefferson was publicly a consistent, everybody say consistent. He was publicly a consistent opponent of slavery, calling it a moral depravity and a hideous blot. He believed that slavery presented the greatest threat to the survival of the new American nation. Now, having said that, we all have a choice to make. How are we going to look at Thomas Jefferson? Because he owned slaves, but then he tried to get legislation in to do away with slavery. We call that hypocrisy in the church. We call that a double standard. We have a lot of words for it, but the truth is that each and every one of us here today, we live a life, and many times we are led by the Holy Spirit. We as Christians are. And then many times we are not led by the Holy Spirit. And we live many times, sometimes, a double standard. We don't ever want to talk about that though. We just want to be so spiritual. We want people to see us, and that's what he was in. But in public, he said he didn't believe in slavery, but in the private life, he owned slaves. So we have a decision. Are we going to be offended, and are we going to live in this offense, or are we going to see Thomas Jefferson and go, you know, he did some good? Or are we going to say, hey, take that statue down. Tear it down. Thomas Jefferson, he's a bad guy. Let me tell you something. You will always find an offense if you're looking for it. Or you will find good in people if you're looking for it. Too many times we're looking for the offense rather than looking for the good. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. I should say everybody say amen. Because we live in a culture today that would much rather be offended than bless people. That would much rather tear people down than build them up. God help us, because it's filtered into the church. Facebook, social media. Aren't you glad you come to church this morning? So, Morris, he was a mechanic. Kind of mouthy mechanic. He's removing the cylinder heads from his car, and he spotted a famous heart surgeon that was walking through the shop waiting on the service manager. And he says, hey, Doc, come over here. He says, I want to ask you a question here for a minute. Morse shouted, and the surgeon walked over there, and Morse wiped his hands off on his rag, on the rag. And he said, "Mr. Fancy Doctor, look this here. I also open hearts, take valves out and grind them and put new parts in. And when I finish this baby, we'll purr like a kitten. So how come you get the big bucks and I don't? And basically, we're just doing the same thing." Surgeon leaned over, looked in the car, and he looked up at Morris and he said, "Why don't you try doing your job while the engine's running?" We can always find reasons. Are they equal? I don't think so. I mean, I'd much rather have a good heart than a car. So it's going to be a little bit different value system there as far as. The one who has fathered deception knows that there will always be disparity. Physical, financial, political equality will never, stay with me, it will never be achieved. There is always a disparity. You think about this. If I went down to the bubble down there in Houston, and I went down to the Houston Texans, and I said, "I want to be a middle linebacker for the Houston Texans," what would they say to me? Probably wouldn't say nothing. Yeah, they laugh at me. Is that fair? Is that equal? No. I can't do that. They would run. JJ Watt, he would hurt me. I could probably beat him roping, though. But you see, we all have values. We all have different things that we do well. And we do some things well, better than others, and other people do things better than we do. Some get paid more for it, and some don't. We got to stop letting that offend us. Unity has been hijacked by the confusion between disparity and discrimination. Make no mistake, if discrimination is a part of your character, you have become divisive, and that is not acceptable in God's kingdom. And I'll say this about discrimination. There's a lot of people that have racist tendencies, but they have justified it for so long that they accept, and they say they're not racist, but they really are. I believe we must see each other as God sees us, equal in value. We must understand and accept that we will never be equal with our gifts, with our talents, and our abilities, and must view our differences as a blessing from God. And stop being envious of other people that can do something better than we can do. Be blessed by it and be happy for them. We are way too offended in our society today. There's a stark difference between disparity and discrimination. Disparity is a difference in treatment or outcome that does not necessarily result from intentional bias or prejudice. For example, the fact that very few people over the age of 50 enroll in a college or university reflects a disparity and not discrimination. It's just a disparity. Because I can't go play middle linebacker for the Texans, it's a disparity. They're not discriminating against me. It's just disparity. But the enemy of your, my soul, he has deceived us into thinking because disparity is in our culture today, it's discrimination. And that's a flaw in a definition. Satan, if you don't remember anything out of this sermon, please get this. Satan will tempt us to be offended by disparities, all the while knowing it can and will change. I changed some of my notes, and since I cut my thumb off, I don't write very good. So I'm having trouble reading my own writing here. So he tempts us on things that the devil knows will never change, thus continually leaving us as a society in turmoil, as families in turmoil. He'll convict you. He'll not convict you, but he will shame you into things that you can't ever do anything about, and bring division in marriages, families, race, government. Sadly, it's in the church, our nation, and ultimately in the world, to bring division in our world today. And I've never seen so many people offended. This reminds me of the Civil War. The offenses that we have picked up as a nation with each other. There is division, and the Bible says to mark them that cause division among you. Yep. Pay attention to them and don't participate in divisiveness. Somebody say amen, please. Oh, I'm glad this is the last service because I got a lot of stuff here. So I'm not going to read this to you, but when you go home, you can read about David's mighty men. It's just really cool stuff. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 23, and I'm going to skip through it, but I want to comment on some of these guys. The first mighty man was a guy named Adino, or Jezebel. If you say it fast, nobody knows you didn't say it right, because you don't know either how to say it. But this guy here, he was a great feat. 800 men he killed in one battle. It made him chief among the mightiest. It seems that the mightiest man, or the one who accomplished the greatest feat, was considered chief among the mighty men. So he was like the chief among the mighty men. And then there was Eleazar, and his word means that God has helped. And he also had a great feat. When everyone else left him, he stayed and fought the battle. And then after he killed everybody, all of the Israelites came back and took the plunder. Just doesn't sound fair to me, does it, you? He worked so hard. And then everybody that ran off, come back and got all the plunder. But it doesn't say that he was offended. I'll move on. Abishai. He also accomplished a great feat. He killed 300 men at one time with his spear, made a great name for himself. But he didn't make the top three. He wasn't good enough. Stay with me. Then there is Benaiah. He had done many great things, three of which he's listed here. He slew two lion-like men in Moab. He slew a lion in a pit in the middle of winter. It's like, if you ever had your grandpa tell you, I walked to school 3 miles and a half, and in the middle of winter and the snow, and I walked, it was uphill both ways, and I had bare feet in the snow, and people just aren't near as tough as they used to be. That's what this guy sounded like. He killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. I'm like, who does that? A mighty man. But he wasn't the mightiest man. He didn't even make the top three. He had an opportunity to be offended because he didn't get recognition like the other guys. First Corinthians 12:18, it says, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. We are the body of Christ. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. In other words, he doesn't see the members of the body as we see them. He puts more value on the members that lack, it says here. That there should be no division. That there should be no division in your marriage. No division in your family. No division in the church. No division in the body of Christ. But that the members should have the same care one for the other. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. I know that's for sure the truth, because when I cut my thumb off, everything hurt. You with me? So when one member hurts, the whole body hurts. Verse 27, now you are Christ's body and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, then helps, then administrations, then various kinds of tongues. Listen, if our gifts are not used and used properly, will we be fulfilled as individuals in the body of Christ? Yeah. If we say, I'm not. Do you have anything in your life that you, when you read things like this, do you say, well, I'd never do that? I'm asking you a question. Yeah. So nod your head. Yeah. You ever say, oh, I never do that. I never be a preacher. I'm not going to speak in tongues, no matter what. Listen, when I cut my thumb, I keep going back to this because it's still very, very real. When I cut my thumb off, I started praying in tongues. Amen. In the Holy Spirit while I was still on my horse. Because I was like, I needed God to intervene for me now. Amen. And Darla was like, even when I was in the hospital, I was still getting after it. But you know what? When you're really hurting, you don't really care what people are thinking. Amen. And chances are they're not really thinking anyway. Yeah. True unity can only be achieved through the Holy Spirit. We must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Spirit, because if you're not full of the Spirit, you're full of something else. If we're going to be what we ought to be in our home church, we must start thinking of ourselves as part of something much bigger that God is doing throughout the entire world. It's not just about the Lone Star Cowboy Church. He's got a bunch of people everywhere doing the kingdom work for the kingdom of God. And we can't be jealous of some other church or what somebody else is doing. And they can't be jealous of us. We must all pull together for the kingdom of God. We can't participate in the offenses of the world. We're too busy admonishing worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're not here to tear other people down, but to build them up. That's what the Holy Spirit's all about. God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. Let's go back to old Morris. You remember the mechanic, right? Morris, y'all still with me? Okay. The surgeon and Morris, they had some things in common. They belonged to a unique group of individuals, both of them did, who operated on sick or damaged parts, and they both got paid for their work. They did it. They had some things in common. Now, does that make them equal? No, it doesn't. We got old Adino, Eleazar, Shema. They had a lot of things in common. You know what they had in common? They belonged to the king. Abishai, Benaniah, the guy that got in the snowy pit, that weren't as good as the other three. They had some things in common with the first three. Do you know what those things in common was? They belonged to the king. Amen. Did they have less value? No. Did they get more recognition? Probably. But it didn't matter. They didn't make the top three. But did that make their service to the king of any less account? Y'all can answer out loud if you want. Did that make them less valuable to the whole of Israel? No. Did that make them less important in God's sight? No. Were they glad that they still belonged to the king? Yes. Were they honored to serve the king and actually risked their lives for the sake of the kingdom? Yes. Were they all journeying toward a common goal? Yes. So we are living in a generation right now, in many cases, that has been given participation trophies all of their lives. And now they are offended that the world is not worshiping them and their demands. We as a church must not participate in that. We must understand that from God's eyes, we are all valuable and have the same value, but there is a disparity when it comes to gifts, talents, abilities, and money. Here is the lesson for the church today. When you feel rejected, unimportant, or of no value to God, slighted and hurt because you didn't make the top three, remember, we all serve the same king. We all belong to the kingdom of God. We all have the same value. Proverbs 20, verse 12, it says, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both." Some of us are eyes, some of us are ears, some of us are elbows, and a few of us are something else. I was going to say that, I decided not to. Unified in the body of Christ, with him as the head, yes. Some of us are eyes, some are ears, some are elbows. Equal? No, we're not equal. But it's okay. It's okay. Seeking equality will divide us and put us into a caste system. And that's the deception of the world. The world is trying to put the United States of America into a caste system. Jesus said, "Stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free." Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. That's what we live for. Unity brings us together in God's love and on in his divine plan to reach a dying world that's crying out for peace. So we need to make certain that we are of the body. We are a member of the body of Christ, knowing that our sins have been forgiven and that we belong to God. It's not my job to figure out where you belong in the body of Christ. That's above my pay grade. We all have to figure out as individuals where we belong. Anybody ever get grumpy? It's hot, miserable, grumpy. You know when I get grumpy? It's when I haven't been doing my devotions and when I haven't prayed enough. When you get grumpy, it should be a red flag saying you need to get on your knees before God and you need to get in the Word of God and let God give you peace. Instead of picking on everybody else and like when you walk in the room, does the dog run? The kids run? It's like, it's been a lot of years back when we was a chaplain at the racetrack. Went to a rodeo just south of Houston. And it was, I hate this term, but I'm going to say it anyway. It was a black rodeo. The reason I hate that term is because it's divisive and it's racist. We have in our community, we have what we call black churches. And then we have what the black people call white churches. These things ought not to be.
Amen.
But we have, let me tell you something. We went out to this rodeo and I guess I'm oblivious to some of this stuff. But I was good. It was good. Until I roped my calf. And it was just a breakaway rope. And just something. You just come out and rope your calf. Breakaway. And I roped my calf like from here to the stage. Faster than anybody else. And when they called my time, it was slower than everybody else. Houston, we got a problem. And that was when I realized that the people up in the box were being racists. Because the truth is that it doesn't really matter what color you are, you can still be a racist.
Yes.
There's a lot of white people that are racist with black people. And there's a lot of black people that are racist with white people. And then there's black people that are racist with black people. And white people that are racist against other white people. And I really think the reason that a lot of black people are racist is because they had a lot of good teachers. Still love me? It's good because you got to let me get to heaven. There's been even in the church, there's been a devaluation for decades, yay, centuries. A devaluation of women. Women didn't get to vote until, it hadn't been that long ago. 1920. Look, you so smart. Yeah. Black people didn't get to vote until, you know that one?
20 years later.
Huh?
20 years later.
After the women? 20 years later after the women. That's even, so y'all get in the picture? And sad to say, women are still devalued in a lot of churches. And I could tell you exactly which ones. I know what denominations do that, and I could say it. And some of y'all would get mad at me because it's the one you was raised in. These things ought not to be. It doesn't matter if you're a male or a female, red, yellow, black, or white. We're precious to God.
Yes.
And God looks at the heart.
Yes.
God looks at the intent of your heart. He doesn't look at what you say. He looks at who you are. God help us as a church, because a big part of the reason that this church isn't full and running over is because we haven't learned how to love people the way God loves them.
Yeah.
Thank you. There will always be disparities. Embrace them and be happy for people that have more talent than you do. I wish I could play the piano like Johnny. I wish I could, man, y'all just shut up. This is crazy. Don't you wish you could do all that? Yeah. Practice. But even as much as I practice, I wouldn't achieve that. Y'all with me? It's okay. So I'm happy for them. Because they're dedicated their talent to the kingdom of God. They're bringing what they have. And that's what God's called all of us to do. Don't worry about what everybody else has. Just bring what you have. Man, that's a good sermon. I've been thinking about this. I'm going to let you in. I've been thinking about this for the last several months. And I started to preach it a while back, and it wasn't right. You know why it wasn't right? It was because my heart wasn't right. I had anger in my heart about all of this. I'm not so angry anymore. I just want us to get it right. We can't be responsible for everybody else and how they act and what they do, but we can be responsible for ourselves and love people the way God loves us. Because he loved us when we had issues. We can love other people when they have issues. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thanks for loving us. Thank you for your many blessings today, oh God. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to take inventory of our hearts. To walk through those doors in our hearts, Lord, that we have slammed shut for decades or for years. That we don't want you coming in because we know that it's not of you. God, we choose today as a church, we choose as individuals to open up those dark doors. And we pray, oh God, that you would come in and cleanse us and purge us. Take away this hard heart and give us a heart of flesh. Give us a heart for people. May we value people the way you value people. May we love you and love people, realizing that people are your greatest treasure. Holy Spirit, please convict us. Convict me, oh God, of areas in my life where I've fallen short in this area. Give us all your heart and your wisdom, I pray, in Jesus' name. I'd like if you keep your heads bowed for just a second, your eyes closed. This morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, the greatest gift that God has given mankind is access to him. But you have to accept him as your Savior if you want to have access to him. He has made himself available to you. And really, honestly, that's the reason he gave his life on the cross, that the whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So this morning, if you've never accepted him as your Savior, maybe if you haven't, you just haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand and say, "Preacher, I need Jesus in my heart. I need to make him the Lord of my life. I need God in my life." Slip your hand up high. We want to put a Bible in it. Anybody? "Preacher, that's me." Anybody? Thank you, Lord. Anybody? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just pray that these words will come into us, right? And may your love shine through us. We can all do a better job of loving. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. I love you a lot. I'm thankful for you. Listen, next week we're going to have church again. And we still got a few empty chairs here. And so what I want to challenge you to do is bring somebody with you. This world is hungry for what you have. Yes. And we don't need to be ashamed of anything, because we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. I want to pray for you. It's all, let's all, how many needed to hear this morning? It's good for you, really good for you. Amen. Let's raise both hands, all of us, and surrender to him, shall we? Lord, we surrender to you, Lord. You see our hands. We realize that we need you. We need your word. We need your presence in our lives. I pray, oh God, that you would help us to design our lives to perpetually follow you. Like tomorrow morning, that we will put you first. We'll spend time with you in prayer and pray that you direct our path throughout that day. Help us to do that on a daily basis, oh God. And Lord, we know that you're going to bring people by our way this week, and they're going to be hungry for you. And Lord, may we be prepared to share you with them, Lord, and to bring them into your kingdom, because we know that that's the greatest reason that we were created, to worship you and to help bring people to you. So we thank you, Lord, for that. We pray, Lord, that you would just give us wisdom in everything we do, and to love people and to value people like you love them. In Jesus' name. And everybody saying, amen. Amen. God bless y'all. Thank you. We got a prayer team up here.